Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 16th of the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Wow, we got a lot to talk about today. We believe in the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land. That is the blueprint for liberty. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Spread the word, share the love, libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Now, let's just kick off a recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had two incredible guests. First one, Chris Carlson, was with us. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Amen to that, Chris. And Chris really does a great job, in my opinion. We talked in detail about the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's a book, an intriguing book, I might add, by the way, written by an unknown author in Russia around 1900. And it really documents the communist agenda and the plans they have to use socialism and to back off of communism in ways that make you believe that they're really for your best interest. They're really for liberty, but they're not. It's like the Solinsky book, but an earlier generation. It is the opposite of Bastiat's The Law. It really is the Communist Manifesto blueprint taken to extreme, but it really highlights some details. For example, Zionism is a political movement. Okay, so those of you who believe we're back in Israel, biblically speaking or whatever, no, we're not talking about this. Look, Zionism is a political movement, ladies and gentlemen. Not all Jews are Zionists, by the way. And many Christian and atheists are indeed Zionists. What is the Zionist agenda? What is the political movement we're discussing? Well, think about this. It's an adjective or whatever, if you will. The precinct is the term. Showing knowledge of events before they take place. A precinct warning is the term. A precinct warning. So this book gives a precinct warning about how the communists intend to take over the world. Really, the godless, communist, socialist, Zionist agenda. And the Zionist world order, or the New World Order, is the desired outcome of these people and their agenda. Their goal is to accomplish this by control of the money and the media. That's right, they want to control it by the money and the media. This is why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to restore the money creation and regulation power to Congress where it belongs, along with gold and silver backing of that money, ladies and gentlemen. Give me control of the nation's money supply, and I care not who makes its laws. Mayor Ansel Rothschild with that point. Look, it doesn't matter what you do as long as we control the money, right? Ladies and gentlemen, to assert that politics have nothing in common with morals is to adopt Marx's dialectic materialism, which simply asserts that man is only motivated by greed, selfishness, pursuit of pleasure, and avoidance of pain. That bribery, deceit, and treachery are the currency of today's political process. Okay? So the book basically asserts that, hey, you got to divorce morals from people. In other words, you cannot keep your morals in politics. You just got to jettison those is the idea. The separation of church and state really makes the point. It's a lie. The idea that I got to go into politics and I can't bring my moral compass with me, that I can't bring my a belief system with me. See, that's the lie that we fall for. Why do, or how is it that Christians and modern day Christianity simply cannot see that these trite and jaded slogans, such as hope and change, America first, make America great again. Look, it's designed to conquer the American people. There's no actions to back it up from a liberty perspective. None. So they say in this book, we will create a universal economic crisis by all possible underhanded means and with the help of gold, which is all in our hands. In other words, they're going to even manipulate the price of gold and silver against us all. You look what Russia's doing and you go, wow, that book came out in Russia 120 years ago. Yes, it did. And they're following the same playbook virtually to a T, aren't they? How many economic crises have we had in the United States since the international bankers took complete control of our money supply in 1913 via the, quote, Federal Reserve? Huh? All right. We also finished the first hour by asking, is Donald Trump a deep state operative? Now we have the evidence, they say, from Jeffrey Epstein's partner in crime, Ghislaine Maxwell. She says, hey, you know what? We are able to compromise Donald Trump. We are able to blackmail all these leaders and politicians. Oh, by the way, that's in the book, too. Did you know that? Yeah. Anyway, Ghislaine Maxwell says that Jeffrey Epstein did have tapes of Trump and the Clintons. The revelation came after she was tricked by some 60 Minutes questioners. In 60 Minutes, the producers asked a lot of questions back in 2016, got her confused, and she admitted to that, ladies and gentlemen. WorldAffairsBrief.com with the details. April 8, 2022. I don't know what you want to say, release of the news from Joel Skousen and crew. Anyway, all I'm telling you is blockbuster reporting. Hey, no wonder Donald Trump's compromised. No wonder he didn't really go after the Clintons. No wonder he didn't really get as much done in office as we had hoped. There's tapes on Donald. Now you say, Sam, why would you believe Ghislaine Maxwell? Well, because I don't think she intended to admit it. That's why. And I don't know if 60 Minutes really realized what they were gunning for until it got released. Sometimes even the mainstream press makes mistakes. Usually you say, hey, nothing slips through these people. Everything is intentional to cover up and or to promote or whatever. I don't know. They make mistakes from time to time. Let's be real about that as well. Second hour, we're talking to our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match is called To Preserve the Nation. But FreedomsRisingSun.com is a great website with weekly webinars on the Constitution and a whole lot more. Spread the word. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Anyway, so the second hour with Dr. Scott Bradley, we talked about tax day deadline. Normally, you think it'll be April 15th yesterday. Nope. It'll be this Monday, April the 18th, 2022. So it'll just ruin your weekend now. Instead of being forced to get your taxes done before the weekend, now you can just worry about them and be in pain and suffering and turmoil and paranoia and everything else. The psychosis that comes along with filing your tax returns under the penalty of perjury, don't you know? All right, welcome to Passover and Good Friday. We talked about that with the good doctor and how significant and important the weekend really is. How the Good Friday focuses on the death and the cross, symbolizing the suffering the Savior made for us all. And I appreciate that, but I like to focus on the living Christ. Will we believe in, have faith in, put our focus on, and follow the living Christ? That's kind of my question. I believe Christ lives. He conquered death. He is the resurrected Savior, an eternal being, right? And he invites all of us to follow him, to keep his commandments, to be like him. And he offers us in return, if we do what he asks, eternal life, right? All right. Anyway, we talked about the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis passed a great bill, signed a bill on Thursday ending most abortions in the state after 15 weeks. The legislation changes the abortion limit from 6 months to 15 weeks, with exceptions in place when it threatens the life of the mother, or if there's fetal abnormalities or whatever else. but really it's 15 weeks. Now, they're following the similar law by Mississippi of 15 weeks. So 6 months is what, 24 weeks brought down to 15 weeks. Standing for pro-life, good for Ron DeSantis and good for the Florida legislative body there. I commend them and I appreciate them for that, right? All right. Anyway, we brought that all to your attention. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. We talked about a lot of news, folks, with Dr. Scott Bradley. We really broke down the Savior's life, the truth about his birth. You know, he was not born on December 25th like Christmas celebrates, although I'll celebrate Christ any day that I get the chance. But the true time when the Savior was born was in the springtime, April, around Easter time, right? So in my mind, we just get two great times to remember Jesus Christ, his suffering, his sacrifice, but more importantly, his conquering of death, right? The sting of death is removed with Christ's life and atonement. So he can save us from death, physical death, and sin, spiritual death. But he asks us to do certain things, right? Back in the days of Moses, they said, look to this staff and you'll be saved. And a lot of people wouldn't look. But those who did were saved. There are certain times where God asks us to do certain things. We must do it if we want to realize the blessings. It's not that it's on us that those blessings occur. It's Christ, without a doubt. But we still have an obligation to do what he asks us to do. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Wow, there's so much to cover. Headline says Trump teases health issues for 2024. Hints at withdrawal. Do you think Trump's going to leave there? What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Is Trump going to run in 2024? Everybody says he was. Now he's teasing health issues that he may not. Or is he teasing health issues to mock Biden because Biden won't be able to really run in 2024, huh? Kind of got to wonder there. Doesn't seem like Trump has a lot of health issues in his way. Will Trump practice the art of withdrawal ahead of the 2024 primaries? People are saying he might. I don't know if he will or won't. I personally think that that Trump doesn't really have a big health crisis, right? But time will tell, right? Well, what do you think? Will Trump practice the art of withdrawal ahead of the 2024 elections? Or is this just the enemies of foreigner or former President Trump? He's the master, they say, of confusing mind games. Yeah, Trump admits that health could stop him from running in 2024. You always have to talk about health, the former president said. Like you're in good health, but tomorrow you get a letter from the doctor that says, hey, come see me again. That's not good when they say use the word again. So time will tell. What will Trump do? Does he really have bad health, or is this kind of a mock, if you will, of Joe Biden? Time will tell. One of the things that Trump is really, really, really good at in his defense is he's really good at I don't know what you want to even say, positioning things in such a way to really highlight an issue. So Trump teases health issues for 2024 race withdrawal, right? But is it really that he's doing that, that he really has these health problems? Or will Trump practice the art of withdrawal ahead of 2024 presidential primaries? Yeah. Will he do that? Or will he really run? If he does run, do you think he'll have success to win? Would I vote for Donald Trump? No, I would not. I never did in either time in the past, and I won't again in the future. Do I think Trump does a lot of good? Yes, I do. I think he's done, in many ways, more good than most modern presidents by far. Yes, I do. Do I think he's a good, honest, moral man? No, I don't. Do I think he can do a lot of good in the world? Yes, I do. Am I against Trump? Of course I am not. Am I for Trump? Well, I'm really for and against issues, not people per se. Now, if people are right on the issues, then I'm willing to back them. Okay, like a Rand Paul or a Ron Paul, I believe for the most part, they're spot on for the issues, right? But all I'm telling you is I'm a mixed bag on Trump. There's a lot of great things that he's done, and there's a lot of things I'm really, really disappointed in him about. All right, for example, lock Hillary up is a great example. Look, if Hillary is guilty of crimes, which I am convinced that she is, but see, I'm just the court of public opinion at this point, right? But if she's really guilty of crimes, then you know what? Level the crimes against her, prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law, let due process happen. Even Hillary deserves due process. Work through the process. And if she really needs to be locked up, don't just chant it on the campaign trail. Get it done. But see, as president, nothing happened. There was no agenda to lock up Hillary at all. So see, that's kind of the problem that I have with Trump, is how much of what he says and how much of what he does is really genuine versus hyperbole. He's a master at media manipulation. Trump teases health issues now, but is that really to mock Biden because everybody can see that Biden is way less healthy than Trump? Is that what we're talking about? All right. I don't know if you know, but they're trying to make Biden look more and more and more the fool. How do I know that? Because they can protect the president from these gaffes, from these mistakes, from these errors, or whatever you want to call it, from these situations if they want to, but they don't want to. So Biden now shakes hands with thin air after North Carolina speech. This is just so strange. And I believe they're doing it to Joe Biden on purpose. Why? I don't know. Who they're going to put in his place for the next election cycle, 2024, I don't know. But I honestly almost wonder if their goal is to put Biden back, Trump back in power. Even the New York Post is talking about this situation where, you know, Biden shakes hands with nobody. He was left empty-handed following an address at a North Carolina university on Thursday. He gave a nearly 40-minute speech in North Carolina. Well, they say he was mocked for shaking hands with thin air. What the heck? What the heck is that? It turns out they say Joe Biden appeared to offer a handshake to nobody in particular after finishing his Thursday speech in Greensboro, North Carolina. When the speech ended, the president turned to his right and put out his hand in thin air for a few moments, and then he turned around and kind of roamed the stage for several seconds in confusion. What do you think about this, folks? I don't know how to respond to this, except I don't believe that it's by accident. They're intentionally letting people know about Joe Biden's lack of cognitive wherewithal, if you will. And they're doing it on purpose. The question is why and what is their agenda going forward? I don't know because I'm not on the beginning or I'm not on the inside track with this. But here's what I know. When Joe Biden literally shakes hands with thin air after Carolina's speech, and multiple times recently he looks vacant and confused and lost. Even the mainstream press gathered around Barack Obama at the White House while Joe Biden was literally spurned. And then Joe Biden walked around all confused, like, man, where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? I don't believe these agendas are a mistake. I believe they're intentional. But when you couple that with then Donald Trump teasing health issues for 2024, race withdrawal, will Trump practice the art of withdrawal ahead of the presidential primaries? Right? What is the art of withdrawal? Why would he do that? See, this is where I don't really like Trump. 90% of what Donald Trump does, you're left wondering. You're left thinking, oh, he's going to do this or he's going to do that. And his supporters always believe that whatever he's doing, there's a secret agenda, but it's ambivalent. It's awesome. It's incredible. Right? Okay, so you look at that and you go, what the heck? I don't know. But what about the art of withdrawal? What is that? Will Trump practice the art of withdrawal? Might he act like because of health he's going to withdraw and then everybody push for him to be the nominee anyway? Might it be a strategy, this art of withdrawal, to give him more support than he's already got if he decides he's not going to run and the landscape looks vacant in terms of who's going to be there? It's like, oh, man, we got to have Donald back. And so the art of withdrawal being practiced would really be designed to prevent an embarrassing loss, but yet to gauge more support for Donald? Is that what we're talking about? Is Donald full of revenge against the Democrats and against Republicans in name only, those who he considers not to back him? So if he practices the art of withdrawal, is it really designed to gauge interest? How much do people clamor for the Donald? If he says, hey, I've got some health issues, I probably can't run, and everybody clamors and says, oh, no, Donald, we got to have you, buddy. You got to. Is it really just designed to gauge interest? And is it really designed to create more backing for Trump than he would get otherwise? What do you say? Am I confused? Is that reality? So that's kind of the question that we have. I don't know, but I know this. When they're leaving Joe Biden everywhere to look foolish and confused, obviously there's health problems there. Then at the same time, Donald Trump's teasing health problems. Might we reject all those folks and look for a younger constitutional candidate? Just wondering. All right, quick pause. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Ukrainian officials say that attacks have been renewed on two of the country's largest cities. Kyiv Mayor Vitaly Klitschko says his city came under fire this morning with explosions reported on the outskirts of the capital. Air raid sirens also sounded in the western city of Lviv early Saturday, with military officials saying that Russian aircraft had fired missiles on the city. The region's military governor claimed his forces had downed four Russian cruise missiles. And the mayor of New York City has honored five transit workers who assisted with rescue efforts following last week's shooting on a Brooklyn subway. Mayor Eric Adams said the group exemplified the characteristics that make New York a unique city.
This week, New York City showed the entire globe what our city is and has always been about. Courage, heroism, quick thinking, and decisive action.
This is USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM.
Officials along the U.S. southern border are preparing for a wave of illegal crossings once the Biden administration lifts Title 42, a Trump-era policy that blocked many asylum claims as a tool to combat the pandemic. Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Art Del Cueto, tells Newsmax TV that drug cartels are also getting ready to take advantage of that change.
By getting rid of Title 42, they're handing over the keys to the drug cartels
right,
so they can take over and run this country. What these individuals continue to do is they bring large caravans in one section of the border, knowing that Border Patrol agents will now have to go take care of those individuals either by processing them, by transporting them, or having to take care of medical personnel out there.
And gas prices continue to inch down even as the country moves into a holiday travel weekend. The national average for a regular gas now sits at $4.07 a gallon, down from record highs last month of $4.33 a gallon. This is USA Radio News.
The MyPillow.com clearance continues. Roll and go anywhere. MyPillow's $9.99. The Body Pillow, $39.99. And MyPillow bath sheets on sale, 50% off. Use my promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials. You'll also get a free copy of Mike Lindell's book. MyPillow.com/radio specials. Use promo code USA or 1-800-951-8175.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't believe that there's no relationship between these two stories. Biden shakes hands with thin air after a North Carolina speech. Everybody ignoring Joe Biden while surrounding Barack Obama. All these different gaffes, if you will, and you look at them and you go, wait, why are they positioning Joe this way? I don't know. But then Donald Trump teases health issues for 2024, race withdrawal. Will Trump practice the art of withdrawal ahead of the 2024 bid for president? I don't know. All I know is it's very strange how they're positioning both candidates in a weird way. I don't know if they're trying to engineer an outcome where they can avoid the election fraud reality of yesteryear, but by fraud and by media manipulation and by starting and stopping certain candidates and whatever. Can they engineer an outcome for who they really want to be in office going forward? I don't know. I just know this. When they make Joe, old Joe, look like a fool, and then you get Donald teasing that he might not be able to run. Look, Donald Trump has been making you believe he was the 2024 candidate. He's coming back. He hasn't really announced it, but everybody believed it was so. Now you get this. What's the real positioning? What's the real agenda? And that's kind of where I have a problem with Donald Trump and all these guys. Everything they do is designed through speculation to ramp up their popularity. Oh, my gosh. If Donald doesn't run, the whole country's going to be ruined. We need Donald to save us. See, this mentality, this idea is a problem. And I don't believe there's no connection between these stories. Trump teasing health issues for 2024. He might go ahead and use the, what do they call this thing? The art of withdrawal. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you look at that. Is the art of withdrawal for both of them? Will they just switch vice presidential candidates for the future? Anyway, I don't believe this Biden destruction story is in the news, intentionally making them look like a fool in this overture by Donald. I don't believe they're unrelated. This is where I believe the deep swamp is playing the Hegelian dialectic against us. Which candidate that's about to bow out do you want to preserve, huh? Yeah. All right, believe it or not, Senator Mike Lee and Representative Chip Roy, they were once backers of Donald Trump's claims of a stolen election, but they eventually urged Trump's top aide to change course, said the headline. Dateline Washington, for weeks in late 2020, Senator Mike Lee cheered on Donald Trump's election fraud claims, privately offering up a group of ready advocates to help with the cause. But over time, Mike Lee got disenchanted with this, reports the New York Times. I guess the pair, Chip Roy of Texas and Mike Lee, both worked with Mark Meadows on this. The pair started out as enthusiastic supporters of Mr. Trump's claim of a stolen election, but gradually grew alarmed about his push to invalidate the results and ultimately oppose his bid to get Congress to overturn the election on January the 6th, ladies and gentlemen. The text messages now are in the house of this investigative committee. And anyway, a lawyer for Mr. Meadows didn't respond to requests, etc. But this big deal is all about this election scenario. And what happens is a lot of people are for it. All right. Now, these lawmakers appear to be eager to fight against election fraud and stand by Donald Trump. But you know what? Behind the scenes, at first they start out wanting to defend Trump, but then they eventually go against this. All right? They say they grew more skeptical as the weeks went by, and evidence of widespread fraud failed to materialize. The president should call everyone off after defending President Trump big time before. Mr. Roy, representative, wrote to Mr. Meadows on December 31st. It's the only path. If we substitute the will of states through electors with a vote by Congress every 4 years, that will destroy the Electoral College. We're driving a stake in the heart of the Federal Republic. Anyway, it goes on. They say Sidney Powell put forth wild claims of election fraud. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. This story's never going to go away. You know, the Hanging Chad story of the George Bush reality back in the 90s, this is never going away, this story. They'll talk about vote fraud forever. They'll never really clean up vote fraud or really solve the problem or really make a difference. But now they're literally telling the story. As we get more evidence of election fraud, they're literally telling the story in a different way. Senator Mike Lee and Representative Chip Roy, once backers of Trump's claims of a stolen election, eventually urged his top aide to change course. Don't go for that anymore. But here's what I find fascinating in the news. While we see the mainstream press, the New York Times and others defending, saying there's no vote fraud, defending a Mike Lee, saying he's changed his mind, he's disenchanted now, I don't believe that's the reality. You say, why, Sam? They've never produced legitimate evidence of vote fraud. You don't think so? See, I do think so. Because WorldNet Daily just released a counter story to the New York Times story. Massive probe of 2020 election reveals staggering results. Complete opposite reporting from the New York Times. Who's accurate here? The New York Times or WND.com? They say 18-month data-driven probe concludes 2000 election was indeed stolen. Smartphone pings and video reveals at least 4.8 million fraudulent votes. Art Moore for WND with the piece. But hold on a minute. Didn't we just get this news that A, Senator Mike Lee and Chip Roy, once backers of Trump, decided since there's no evidence now they're against Trump? But now we see an 18-month data probe on this? What gives? So you got the New York Times reporting this, Mike Lee and those guys now turned against the Donald. But at the same time, you get 18-month data-driven probe concludes 2020 election was stolen. What gives of that? What's the truth now, right? You got to ask yourself, whose news reporting do you trust? Right? Whose news reporting do you trust? Do you trust Art Moore? In this massive probe, the results are staggering. Who do you trust? That's why this is so critical. Right? All right. There's a new movie coming out about this. It's a scene from the upcoming movie 2000 Mules. Okay? You've got these people, Catherine Angereft, or Angerbret, anyway, and Greg Phillips, both working on this. They have been engaged in the battle for election integrity for more than a decade on the day after the contested November 2020 elections. They said, what are we going to do? We see vote fraud here. Well, they all teamed up with Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. All right. And they literally said, hey, we have got to look into this vote fraud thing. So they hired nearly a dozen people that put in 16-hour days for 15 months. And they looked at cell phone geolocation data, videos, documents, etc., to see if they could find vote fraud. Answer is, they found it. Yeah. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you more in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Ladies and gentlemen, so you've got two contrasting stories in the news. The mainstream press literally saying Senator Mike Lee and Representative Chip Roy once believed in the vote fraud scenario and backed the Donald, but they backed away from it when no hard evidence was produced. All right, that's a big story in the New York Times right now, trying to make you believe there's no vote fraud. I submit to you there absolutely is vote fraud. 18-month data-driven probe concludes 2020 election was stolen. They got smartphone data, video, 4.8 million votes manipulated. They say that they have the hard evidence to back up the claims and their findings that there were 4.8 million fraudulent votes in the states they targeted, ladies and gentlemen. Battleground, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. But they've been shunned by the authorities and the media will not touch it. Don't you find that interesting? Now, much of the evidence they highlight is indisputable, I might add. In Georgia, for example, it's illegal for any person to place more than one ballot in a drop box unless he or she has been registered as what they call an assister. But now in Gwinnett County, for example, you have footage of people using latex gloves, stuffing multiple ballots in a drop box, then recording the deed with a photograph. There are no assisters registered for the 2020 election. Yeah. So do you believe there's data about that being stolen, or what do you think? Okay. Anyway, these two researchers, along with Mr. Kirk, took all their information to Dinesh D'Souza. All right. Anyway, the bottom line is you've got Dinesh D'Souza now teaming up with Charlie Kirk, teaming up with these two researchers, all creating a movie. Right? So Dinesh D'Souza put this film together. And their goal is to highlight the vote fraud with the movie because they can't get it anywhere. They say after the movie comes out and after the inevitable attacks come, the investigative team will pull the ripcord and release all of the data. They want to be totally transparent and give all the data to the American people, they say. Now, what do you think of that, folks? Are you buying that? See, I don't know that I am. You say, what do you mean, Sam? The investigative team will pull the ripcord and release all the data. They want to be totally transparent. Give it all to the American people. I believe that they want to do that. I do believe they're genuine in this. I do believe the movie's real. I do believe the vote fraud's real. You say, well, Sam, what do you mean then? Well, there's a lot of confusion here about the elections and what hard evidence is and where we go with the evidence and what we can do with the evidence once we have it, et cetera, right? Look, Joe Arpaio went this route, folks. You say, what are you talking about? Joe Arpaio of Maricopa County, Arizona, the biggest county in Arizona, one of the biggest counties in the country, Joe Arpaio looked into the birth certificate forgery and proved that it was a forgery. And the media wouldn't touch it, and the mainstream press and the politicians and the everybody ignored him just like this, right? Think about it. They say they have the hard evidence to back their findings, but you know what? They've been shunned by authorities. The media won't touch it. That's the same thing that happened to Joe Arpaio, right? Everybody's afraid right now. They're afraid of getting canceled, right? Now, understand, on the other side of fear is freedom. All we got to do is step up. Let's go. Now, other people have been targeted by the Obama administration. Yeah, the IRS discrimination thing. Remember how a lot of conservative groups got attacked by the IRS? Wow. But there you have it. What's going to happen with this? I don't know. True the Vote is a group that's involved in this too. They see the trailer for 2,000 mules. Right? So the Charlie Kirk Show is helping with it. You got these researchers. You got Dinesh D'Souza. And now they're using True the Vote. And then they have the trailer for 2,000 mules. I find that fascinating. Do you, folks? Do you find that fascinating? I do, because how do you have two stories so polar opposite? One literally doubles down, right? And says, hey, there's no vote fraud, even to the point where Mike Lee and others, they've literally tried to look into this to no avail. They've now jettisoned that narrative. But at the same time, we have WorldNet Daily highlighting this 18-month probe. There's a movie coming out about this vote fraud. There's an effort to bring the media up to speed, but the media won't listen. There's an effort to have public officials and everybody look at this afresh, but they're being shunned. And now you've got a movie coming out. I don't know that we'll ever see the results on this. In other words, the truth. Right? I don't know whether we'll ever see the truth on this. We're just going to have the conservatives double down in defense of vote fraud. The liberals double down in defense there was never any vote fraud. The evidence will eventually be released, just like the evidence in Joe Arpaio's birth certificate forgery was released. But nobody cared. It was a ho-hum moment. Now, I'm not downing Joe Arpaio. I commend him for getting to the bottom of that truth. At least we know the truth. And I don't down these people. I commend these people that have been involved in the 18-month probe. Now they say they have the hard evidence to back their finding that there were 4.8 million fraudulent votes in the states they targeted, and that the mainstream press won't touch it, and the media won't touch it, and the politicians or government is shunning them. They've been shunned by authorities is the words that are used, right? Okay, I appreciate it that we're getting the truth. But what you're going to end up with, ladies and gentlemen, and as far as I can tell on this thing, is the truth. You're going to know the truth. The truth is there was vote fraud. There's plenty of evidence to produce the facts regarding vote fraud. But we're not getting to the bottom of it at all. We're not going to do anything. The Republicans are going to jettison Donald. And then Donald is going to rage against the Republicans that didn't support him, the rhinos, if you will. And now there's a big fracture in the Republican Party, a big fracture in the Democratic Party. Everybody's fractured while the deep state takes advantage of those fractures and continues to move us into a tyrannical state. That's what I see. Right? They say the investigative team will pull the ripcord and release all the data. They want to be totally transparent and give it all to the American people. Wow, what do you think about that? I hope they do. I hope we get to the bottom of it. I mean, I get that they want to be totally transparent. I commend them for this. But do you believe it'll go anywhere, folks? Do you really believe it'll go anywhere? See, I don't. Not because I don't believe it's not the truth, but because your government is just too corrupt. Right? I don't know where to go from here. Because people are saying, Sam, what do we do with all this stuff? There's just criminal activity everywhere, and we've got to have accountability. I know it. I know it, but you're not going to get it. Are you? No, you're not. You're not going to end up with the truth on this. All right, Twitter adopts poison pill to ward off Elon Musk's takeover. Yeah, Twitter board approves poison pill after Musk's $43 billion offer to buy Twitter, the Epoch Times with the deal details. And what other details, you asked? Well, Twitter's board of directors has approved a provision aimed at preventing a hostile takeover that's known in the financial world as a poison pill. The board unanimously chose to adopt the limited duration shareholders' right option. It's a plan after the non-binding proposal to buy Twitter was offered by Elon Musk. Under the, quote, approved provision, if any entity, person, or group acquires 15% or more of Twitter's outstanding stock in a transaction not approved by the board, other shareholders will be able to buy stock at a lower price. The shareholder plan will reduce the likelihood that any entity, person, or group gains control of Twitter through the open market, right? The poison pill method has been approved by other companies in the past to dilute outstanding stock and make a hostile takeover more financially challenging. They say more details will be outlined in the poison pill plan that Twitter will file with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The poison pill move, though, according to Elon Musk, could expose the board to a titanic amount of liability because they would be breaching their fiduciary responsibility. Adam Candude, a law professor at Michigan State University, told the Epoch Times that the board could face legal consequences if they turned down such a lucrative bid. Twitter is owned by shareholders, and believe it or not, in these public companies, the directors have to act in a way that's in the best interest of Twitter and Twitter's financial wherewithal, rather than trying to maintain the company and prevent a takeover. If they turn down a very favorable price for their shares, there will be a dereliction of duty and significant consequences could be the result. There you have it. So I told you this would happen yesterday. The poison pill would be the case. And I don't know that I believe that Elon Musk will get a hold of Twitter. I believe the poison pills oftentimes are very effective. What is it? Look, if somebody wants to buy too much of a company and they're offering a premium, all they got to do is dilute the cost of the shares and put a provision in there that says other people can buy shares at a reduced cost. If enough people participate in the poison pill, in other words, buy the shares, then it's about impossible for Elon Musk to take over. Because if you dilute your shares, dilute the value, you put it in the hands of more people. In other words, Elon Musk's 9 to 15% control will become less and less as they dilute the shares. In my opinion, poison pills are criminal because you really rob the wealth and percentage of ownership in the process. But yet they're going to act like the poison pill is the honorable thing and Elon Musk is the bad guy. You say, wait a minute, Sam, we're talking about a hostile takeover. Define hostile. All right, we'll come back. I'll talk about this more next hour. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, hour one of the can, two coming up. God save the Republic.